Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We love Homeschool Companion. We hope we can be your homeschool companion. We believe every child's home is their biggest field of learning and their biggest school. So whether you send your children to traditional school or whether you send them to a private school or keep them home, this show is for you. And I just want to assure you that in the second half of the show, this is a 30-minute show, in the second half, our guest is Linda Evans Shepherd, and she's going to talk about a horrible traffic accident that her daughter was in and how she prayed through that, and then it later became a book. You won't want to miss that. Well, today's devotion is Dolphins and Sound. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, Luke 8:18. When we think of a place, we usually picture it in our minds. We depend on our memory of what the place looked like rather than a recollection of sounds or smells connected with it. Although a dolphin has excellent eyes, he relies on his ears to get around in his world. When he thinks of a particular place at sea, he may think of the sounds of the fish and the water currents there. When he thinks of his mate, he probably thinks of her voice. A dolphin whistles a lot. He whistles when happy, when he's excited, and to keep his family together. Baby dolphins whistle as soon as they are born, and when one becomes separated from its mother, it whistles until found. When feeding, dolphins make rasping and mewing sounds to show displeasure. They clap loudly with their jaws. Dolphins locate objects in the water by sending out high-frequency sounds and picking up the echo. By bouncing high-pitched sounds off solid objects, a dolphin can tell how far away they are and in what direction. From the echoes, it gets a picture of its surrounding. A dolphin can locate a fish in dark water and catch it as easily as if he could see it. It has been proved that he can also tell the size of fish from the echoes. A blindfolded dolphin was observed through a television screen to choose fish by size. The actual high-pitched sounds used by dolphins sound like the creaking of a rusty hinge and the consistent of hundreds of tiny clicks. As the dolphin swims toward an object, he wags his head from side to side, homing in on the object. Because dolphins go so much by sound, they have to take heed how they hear, for it is the way they home in on their objective. As Christians, our objective is to be like Christ. To do this, we must hear and heed the Bible and the Holy Spirit, which guide us to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you this day. We hold up to you our thoughts and actions. May our words be apples of gold and pitchers of silver. May our thoughts be connected with your thoughts. Be with that family that has just suffered loss. Hold them in your hand. Lord, it is always difficult when we lose a loved one. Death certainly is an enemy. And I hold up to you our nation today. We pray for its wisdom and unity. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, it's actually our experiential learning section. And I've put in my Pinterest site, you can go to MRGamblin2. And I've made a board there called Windows on God's World. It just goes right along with our book, our devotional time. And you will see there some sound activities and some videos on how to draw dolphins. There's a lot of things about dolphins that you can do. You can look up your own videos of them in the water and actually see them there. It's really cool. And I look at this experiential learning section as something that your children could listen to and decide what they wanted to do. In other words, I want to be your homeschool companion. So if you're unschooling, you could say, well, the one thing we're going to do is we're going to listen to Homeschool Companion today and pick something we want to do out of there. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Last week we talked about everything you can should consider before you begin homeschooling. Or if you are in the middle of homeschooling and you're thinking, this is not working, what am I doing wrong? This might be a good inventory. So we thought about the will to homeschool, your motivation. We thought about your schedule, especially if you work some. We thought about the socialization aspect. We thought about your own children. What do they need? Some children really need to go to school. And today we're going to just talk about the cost. If you take into account the cost to educate a child in the United States, the average cost to the taxpayers is between $10,000 and $13,000 a year. Some states more, some states less. In private school, it comes to about $8,000 a year if you really over-leverage your teachers, you know, have them do the janitorial work and the secretarial work and things like that. So when you bring your child home, there is going to be a cost. You cannot homeschool for free. The cost might be in the fact that you no longer are making a wage. So if you were making $34,000 a year, that's how much it's going to cost right off the bat for you to homeschool your child. You have to take that into consideration. So when you consider cost, you can consider the cost of eternity. Questions parents ask. This question is from Allison, and she says, I'm antisocial. Well, maybe a better word would be that she's shy or an introvert. And she's struggling with the need for her kids to get more kid interaction. You know, the interesting thing about families is if we are shy or an introvert, often we have children, or at least one child, that comes out just like we do. And this particular family, she goes on to tell me that they show horses. So, you know, you're getting out there. In my experience, I have found that homeschooling children who are homeschooled, actually are better at socialization than we think. Yeah, there's a few exceptions to the rules. You know, you might have that child that is on the spectrum of autism, that sensory processing disorder is a big thing, where when there's just too many people, they want to go crazy. But for the most part, we do okay. I know that I was homeschooled through the 10th grade, and those first couple of years back in private school for my 11th and 12th, I was really nervous if I would say or do something wrong. But I ended up being extremely well-liked and popular because, I mean, they nicknamed me the innocent one. You know, innocence, innocence. Here comes innocent. Well, truly I probably was, but God, you know, God has loved each one of us, and the path that we take with our children, He's guiding you every step of the way. Here's a question from Katie, and it's a mother's heart cry, I think, of when we talk about our children and we see them struggling. She has a 5-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter, but her son is reverting back to talking like a baby. He doesn't want to do any schoolwork. Well, 5.5 is awfully young to be pushing schoolwork. You realize I come from the cultural background of homeschooling. Raymond Moore and John Holt are considered the founding fathers of homeschooling. And Raymond Moore went to the same church that I went to. And he really believed, and I do too, that Children, especially boys, should not be in any type of formal education until they're at least 7. And here you are pushing this little boy who's only 5 and a half. You can see the stress that he is under. All of the things that you have mentioned here, Katie, are stress. It's how children deal with stress. They act out, they cry, they are just longing for some type of relief. Like you say, he wants to watch TV or YouTube. He's just, it's a type of medicine that he's just longing for because his stress levels are so high. In fact, if you were to have his stress levels measured, you would see that indeed this child is under a lot of stress. So continuing your efforts to back down and back off and let him be a 5-year-old pursuing his own interests. Well, that concludes Questions Parents Ask. Well, I'm hoping you'll stay tuned for the second half of Linda Evans Shepherd's interview. She is so encouraging and prayer is so powerful. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second part of our interview with Linda Evans Shepherd. And if you didn't get to hear the story where we all got choked up last time about her baby who was in a terrible car accident and paralyzed for life, and the miracle of her brain rejuvenating to the point where the family could communicate and serve her as Jesus would serve her for 30 years before she passed away. Go back to the podcast of yesterday's interview to hear that. It's very encouraging. So Linda has put a gift on myprayergift.com, and you can go there and you can, is it a video and a?
It's a video and a downloadable, printable version of a blessing that I'm praying over my listeners and my readers.
Yes. And you can also go to gottopray.com. That's all spelled out. We're talking about her book, Prayers for Every Need. And I'm holding it in my hand. I always love to actually hold the book itself. So let's unpack it. We don't have to unpack it totally. We won't have enough time to do that, but we can talk about the contents. So you have a chapter called Blessings.
Yes.
And then is that sample from this chapter?
Yes. Those are little blessing prayers that I've written in the last 15 years worth of books I've written on prayer for Baker Revell. And so they're just little quotes, little prayers of blessing that we can pray. But blessing our children is one of the most important things we can do as moms and dads. It's so important. And knowing how to bless is a great thing.
I work with some parents that are so negative. They don't realize that they need to be pouring blessing over their children, not cursing over their children. I mean, they don't actually curse over them, but they're very critical. And any parent, you can fall into that trap because you can see the faults of your children, and maybe pointing out the faults of your children make you feel in some way better about yourself. But we need to pour blessings over our children.
You know, I think one thing that I love to do is go into gratitude and think about the things for my son is still with us and he's an engineer in Texas. But to be able to say to my children, even now, you know, honey, here's something that I just so admire about you, and I'm so grateful to God about this in your life. That encourages them and it strengthens the gift that God has put in them.
Amen.
That's what we need to be doing with our kids.
Absolutely. I know that, you know, my mom, just before she passed away, said kind words to me. And those words just, you know, I could actually physically feel the positive reaction to it. So I think when we pour a blessing over our children, you know, we pour the blessing to God, thanking him and being grateful. But we need to do this, let our children hear us pray about them to God. And then also God's mind will connect with our mind towards that child. Now you have another section called Church and Ministry.
You know, we need to know how to pray for our churches too. I think one of the problems in church is we're not praying. We are prayerless for our churches and for the men and women who work at the church. And if what would happen if we just all begin to call out to God for our pastors and the church staff and the people and the church? We have to be able, well, it says that in the last days, that there will be a form of godliness without the power of God. So we can go play church or we can invite God into the church. And that's what we need to do.
You know, I think of so much of, I've been, you know, in ministry all of my life, and prayer meeting, I've been in places where they actually prayed for my ministry and it just flourished. I've asked other churches to pray for my ministry, which is their ministry as well. But instead, they've used it more as a backhanded gossip session. And pretty soon it's all rumored, oh, the ministry's in big trouble because we're having to pray for it. But that is totally a satanic switch of what we are supposed to do and what and how we should think about prayer.
I like to pray for God to empower the minister, to empower the church, to follow him, and for God's spirit to be all over and to push the enemy out of the plans. Because if you're in ministry, you know that you get roadblocks from the enemy. Those roadblocks are signs that you're on the right path, but you've got to push through them, and you got to know how to pray to do that.
We are a high value target.
Yes.
Unfortunately. And then you have a section called Difficult Times. Difficult Times. And you certainly, you know, personally have been through it, but all of us, as long as we are on this planet, if it hasn't happened to us yet, it will happen to us before the end of our lives. It's just the result of sin.
That's right. Well, one of the prayer concepts that I talk about in this book, and it's in Difficult Times, is a prayer that I began to do from the stage when I was speaking to women's groups, and I would get the whole group of women to do it, and it would, the most amazing thing would happen when I would get the women to pray. I would get them to imagine, and our audience can do this right now, imagine something that you're upset about. You wish God would change it. And then just hold it up. Now, if you're driving, just hold it up with one hand, maybe. Don't raise both hands. Hold it up before the Lord. Do it in your mind's eye. Hold that problem up before the Lord and pray this. God, do you see this problem? Guess what? Now it's your problem. It's a prayer of trust. It's a prayer of relinquishing the responsibility of carrying something that you cannot control.
And what a great remedy for burnout, because burnout is when we try to control everything, when we try to be responsible for everything. Hold it up to God. Now it's your problem. It seems very simplistic, but it has a fantastic impact on your own mind.
Well, I got to watch the audiences when I would get them to pray this, and they would like physically change in their appearance. When they would give God their burdens. It was amazing.
Amazing, amazing. You have another section called emotional care. And I know there's some overlapping in all of this. But emotional care, tell me what you were thinking in this section.
I think this is where the enemy attacks us really a lot and hard, especially in, let's say, teenagers or young people, especially right now with all the isolation that we have endured these past 3 years. And we just have to give our emotions to God and invite his presence into our emotions, to invite his peace into our emotions. And then what happens when we begin to just rely on God's peace instead of trying to, what we do is we spin like, okay, I have this problem. I got to figure it out. I can't think of it. I have this problem. I got to figure it out. We just start spinning with this worry, and that's called anxiety. But again, if we pray this prayer that I just taught you, oh, it's your problem. And I'd like to add this to it. You can figure out a solution. I can't even imagine one, but you can figure it out. And then when it starts to try to spin in my head again, oh, I gave that to God. I don't have to worry about it. And then guess what happens? A way opens, a door opens, an opportunity comes along. And I never needed to worry about it because God had it all along. The prayer is just to remind me God's got it. And when we begin to pray, God, my heart is broken. I give you my broken heart. And here's another prayer I love to pray. I like to put my hand over my heart and I like to say, I cancel the spirit of trauma because the enemy will try to torment our emotions. I cancel the spirit of trauma off of me in the power and authority of the name and the blood of Jesus. And I give you my pain because you died on the cross for my pain.
Amen. I'm going to just say some of the other sections and then I want to go back to forgiveness. Family, friends, community, and nation. There's that section, prayers for that. There's prayers for grace and mercy, prayers for grief and loss, growing in Christ, miracles, personal transformation, protection and provision, restoration, salvation, set free, spiritual warfare, surrender, trust and guidance. And before we close out, I want you to talk about the section on forgiveness, because that's a huge thing for so many people.
That's right. Here's the problem. When we carry that bitterness, we become bitter. And the Lord does not want his people to be bitter people. He wants people to be free and to love and to trust. And so when we carry that bitterness, it's kind of like we're just slimed. And so what I teach people is we can give God our bitterness. I make them imagine someone they're really mad at. And again, we just lift them up to the Lord and I tell them, it might be a whole church. It might be the whole office, whoever it is. Maybe it's your family members, whoever it is. And they may have done something unforgivable. That doesn't even matter. This still works. You hold them before the Lord and guess what you say? You say, Lord, here are these people that have tormented me and upset me. And I'm going to lay them at the foot of the cross. And I declare right now that I forgive them, not through my power, because that's impossible, but through your power. And they are no longer chained to me because I've been dragging them around with me everywhere I go. When I'm bitter, when I don't forgive, they are your problem. And I give them to you and you can take care of this situation because I am free.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking to Linda Evans Shepherd about her book, Prayers for Every Need. Her website is myprayergift.com and gottopray.com. At My Prayer Gift, there is a free prayer there for you that you can download or you can listen to. I just have been so blessed by the interview. So thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.